recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get on. I chose to get on. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that. About you, right, Drew?
You, yes.
How you feeling,
man? Dude, I got a story for you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've been saving up all day.
All right. Now, how's the hyperbole meter?
It's not what you think I'm going to talk about. The emotion attached to this is on the scale I'm expressing right now. And I will tell you that the emotion has sort of cooled off as the day has gone on. Mm-hmm. But I had a dream about you last night. Mm. Very intense. Like one of those dreams.
Huh? Yeah, pray tell.
Yeah. So like one of those dreams where you are like bothered and it keeps going and it keeps going and I wake up and get back into it again. And it's like, it was so emotional. It was so freaking emotional. And then when I woke up, it was with me all day. And I was sort of nervous to see you slash like a nerd being around you.
Well, it is true. It's interesting the way dreams work, because the way dreams work is they have a sort of residual that sort of wears off, sort of like imbibing alcohol, where it's like you're drunk and then you're the drunkest and then it tapers and eventually. But if you get hold of someone 2 hours after they're drinking, there's still some stuff in their system. And I always liken it to this. When I was single, I'd have a dream about some cute chick who worked at the Man Show or something. And I'd wake up that morning, I'd go like, oh, I guess Julie isn't infatuated with me. And then I'd be heading into work and I'd be thinking, she's about 15 or 20% closer than she was before. You know, the dream. Like,
well,
I have
because
a
you're
little,
in a feeling
a
state. Yeah,
in
you're
me.
In a feeling
like,
state where it's still there.
She knows something happened.
Yeah.
Like, I get it. She's not in love with me, but I'm a little closer than I was before the dream.
And to me,
and you're zero. It's just like winning the Super Bowl. You're zero closer to before the dream.
But to me, dreams are just visual representations of some feeling state I'm in. And so I'm out of the feeling state a little bit right now, so it's not as vivid as it was this morning. But I think I can recreate a little bit.
Please.
In a nutshell, your and my relationship was a little more rocky than it is right now, which is not to say very much.
In the dream.
In the dream. And we were doing, I think, radio. And you were the boss. And radio was sort of all I had in life. And you one day said, you're out. You're just sort of off with your head, kind of a thing.
You're out.
You're out, and I was appealing and pleading and felt this extreme sense of helplessness and loss, and you were brutal, and then you had Natalia do the rest, and she was worse.
She
used language that I literally couldn't remember. I got to remember this language because it's like it's unbelievable the words that she was saying. And sort of blaming me for not being prepared and maybe not being engaged enough and not carrying my part of the deal, right?
Yeah.
And then there was a whole dream that followed, you know, this helpless kind of feeling and trying to find my way back. But there was like complete, you know how you get with this, like, shoom, gone. You were done. You made your mind up and that was it.
Well, I have done that.
Yeah.
And I've done it recently and I've also done it before, and I'll tell you why. I was actually talking to someone today who I work with, and I said I fired somebody, and they said I can't picture you firing anyone. And I said I do on occasion. By the time I fire somebody, I have such a complete composite of them. I have gone through it. So, it's never impulsive. It's a year in the making. You know, I've studied them for a year, and I've drawn so many conclusions and I'm so at ease with it that if I get there, I'm done.
Well,
by the time I get there, I'm not waffling. It's not based on something you did last.
I evidently know that about you. And it's very funny you would bring that up next, because that's sort of the next sort of quality in this is that you put it on me and said that it's been something you've been complaining about for a long time, and if I had just prepared and gone in and shown some energy, blah, 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 all the stuff that you had been telling me for a year to do, and this was the last straw, and that was that. And it was sort of you're incompetent kind of a message.
Mm-hmm.
And can't be reconciled. And I remember trying to reconcile it in my own mind, like, how did this happen? I wasn't aware of it. Why did I? What did I do? How did I do that? And how can I repair this? But I can't with you, but maybe I can. But how did I miss it? A lot of self-doubt and stuff like that. Now, here's the other layer of the story. Strangely, yesterday, I don't know if this is even appropriate for here or not, but yesterday I was thinking about Ray a lot all day.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. But I think this was somehow me relating to how he must have felt or something. Does that make sense?
I have a thought.
But does that connect for you in some weird way? And so I also woke up thinking, ooh, I got to maybe call him. Just hope he's okay. This kind of feeling, because this is not a good feeling.
Look, let me float this.
Yeah.
Drew.
Yeah.
I have kind of two theories. Mm. It's my theory of when I meet the 51-year-old guy. And he's a successful guy, sometimes a comedian or in the show business or whatever. And he's like, oh, I envy you with your adoring wife and beautiful children. I've always wanted to have kids. And I always think, no, you don't. No, you don't. First off, you're fucking a new 25-year-old every 20 minutes. Number two, if you wanted kids and a wife, you're 51 years old, you're semi-attractive, and you're rich and successful. Why would you not have kids and a wife? You do not want this. You say you want it, or maybe there are elements of it that you want. Of course, there's elements of everything that everyone wants, but the overall, many more things outweigh those elements, and you don't want it.
Yeah.
Okay, I know that. Do you know that? I started thinking about anyone I've ever fired or let go, and let me tell you what no one has ever done. And this is how I know. Now, look, there's a version of this that involves breaking up with someone. There's a version of this that involves firing someone. There's a version of this that involves you getting fired or you getting broken up with. Every single person I've ever fired has answered with, well, that's your decision, and moved on. I have not talked. I've never had somebody say, look, I get it. It must be frustrating. You've asked me to do X, Y, and Z. I didn't do it. I'm ashamed. I ask, even if it's on a probationary period, that you let me prove to you why that would be a bad decision. Let me fix these things.
Would you allow that in
these things? It's hypothetical because it's never happened.
It feels like, having been the object of this in my dream, like that's not something you'd be open for in those moments when you've had enough.
It's never been attempted.
Yeah.
So I couldn't tell you. It would probably be case by case.
And here's
how dare you? There is no softer touch than me if you go, I screwed up. I get it. I'm going
to
fix it.
But by the time
let me show you how I can fix this.
I'll remember that.
I remember it.
Yeah.
Spread the news. Ring the bell. There is no softer touch than me. What I get is, I was going to do whatever, but I got a cat. That cat had measles.
Now
we're engaged. I'm explaining, hey, I took groundlings classes at night when I was the poorest person on the planet. Don't give me you don't have time to blah, 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 blah. That's where the engagement comes in. But I have never, hold on.
Yeah.
Theory.
Yeah.
Theory.
Yeah.
Let me hit Blinds Galore and then I'll tell you, I'll finish this theory.
All right.
BlindsGalore.com is where you go. They have a memorial sale. It starts this week. Up to 50% off of everything. One of the biggest sales of the year, and it's the best time to buy new blinds. So hurry. It ends Wednesday, May 30th. Blinds Galore. I have them. Drew has them out in the boathouse. I love that. BlindsGalore.com, first place you go to get the custom window treatments. They've been with us for a million years. Their guys are good.
But we had a dog rip one of them up. We were like really upset. They're so great.
Oh, they pulled one of the slats down.
Oh, my God.
Put Rex down.
It wasn't Rex, the other one.
Put the other one down. That's not Rex. 100% custom window treatments built to your exact measurements. Their expert team is happy to help every step of the way, online, on the phone, get the samples, do it all. It's blindsgalore.com, right, Drew?
Let Blinds Galore help you get the custom blinds and shades you've always wanted in your home. Don't forget to check them out during this Memorial Day where you can save up to 50% off everything. That's blindsgalore.com, and let them know it's from Adam and Drew. We sent you.
Here's my theory.
Yeah.
My theory is, as in work and in relationships, I've been guilty of it in relationships where I've just, you know, sort of checked out for the last 6 months, and then they go, I'm breaking up with you. And I went, what?
Yeah.
How dare you? And then I was like, okay, I guess I wanted to be broken up with.
Yeah.
Back to the employee part. I've never had anyone ask for a timeout or put me on probation or let me make it up to you or all those things you asked to do, let me do those things or anything. So I suspect everyone I fired has wanted to be fired. Now, they may not have known it on a purely conscious level, but on some subconscious level, they want it out, or they wouldn't. Look, here's the deal. If I'm going to ask you to do a bunch of stuff and your answer is no, you do want out. You want out. That's if the boss man says do X, Y, and Z, and you don't do it consistently, that is a form of opting out.
Let me tell you the most disturbing part about it for me, the way I experienced it, was I was experiencing it as I missed that you were feeling this way. So, which was not me. I could never miss that. But that moment where you're like, I'm like, what? I missed the – I didn't know that it was this bad or that you've been feeling this way. Like, I was bewildered by it. That must be a very strange feeling. That was the strangest feeling of all in the whole thing. Just like, what? Like, it came from, like, in my mind in the dream, nowhere. And I'm wondering if the people that do this are really that defensive that they don't understand that they have been schooled many, many, many times before the final blow. Like, they literally are bewildered by it. It's a defensive thing. I mean, our brains work that way.
Many of the people I have...
if you have opposition defiance,
you haven't let too many people go. But most of the people who have gone, I've had discussions with them multiple times about whatever.
But imagine if when it hits, I had no recollection of those discussions, and it seemed completely bewildering to me. Imagine
well,
that. That's an impairment, I'll grant
back
you. Back
to the language of losers, which is... When I say to you, hey, here's what's happened, and you deflect versus internalize, then it does not go down in your – okay, so – oh, good. Drew, good point. I'm glad you brought this up, which is three strikes and you're out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So you get caught stealing a car stereo – and that's strike one. Then you get caught stealing a TV, strike two, and now you steal a sack of Doritos and you're out. Now, what if in my mind, because I deflect it.
Yeah.
So you said, hey, you stole that car stereo. And I said, stole it. I was just using it to, I was just going to clean it up and reinstall it into the stranger's dash. What are you riding me for?
Okay.
Doesn't go down in my head as strike one.
Yeah.
And then, hey, you broke into that old lady's apartment, stole her TV set. Hey, first off, I had my TV stolen once too.
And the judge just had out for me. Whatever.
She's got out. Okay. Yeah. It does not go down.
Yeah.
Now I steal a sack of Funyuns and I get arrested and I go, what's going on here?
Yes. Yeah. I think people think like that. It was the most unpleasant feeling on earth.
This must be a terrible way to live. This is why you shouldn't be deflecting because defending. Because the cop is the boss and he is keeping a record.
Yeah.
And his record, you just put it down as I didn't steal a car stereo. That cop just put it down as record as strike one.
Yeah.
And yes, it's true. And it's a very interesting phenomenon. There's nothing less beneficial to a human being than to
it's denial
and externalization.
Yeah, it's defense,
and it
denial,
is the worst
stuff.
it is
but our brain does that shit. Imagine being I feel like I'd be the victim of that, like,
hold on a second. As I travel through this world, I start to really drill down on it, focus on it, recognize it, and see it. I feel like some sort of ocean specter constantly walking through new restaurants and going, how long has that mayonnaise been out? And that's not the right temperature. And hey, that door should have a self-closer on it. That's a fire hazard. That door's propped. The front door's propped open. It shouldn't be propped open. That's a fire hazard. You know, like I just start to notice everything.
Yeah.
And I notice that the people – I see 40-year-old men who are locked in like a 7-year-old, like hard, like a 7-year-old.
Yes.
I notice that my son is literally rid himself of – I mean, not literally, but
– Mostly.
Rid himself of that, whereas my daughter is steeped in it. I can – if you wanted to give a 0 to 100 – I could walk around every business I have and point at everyone and tell you what their number was.
On the defense scale?
And the defense scale. And as the, again, you know, do a spot. Let me, Gary, I swear to God, it's time to find that old Nick Santora email about him and his prison movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'll paraphrase, but my God.
Yeah.
You want to know what the ultimate, what the king, the top of the mountain for the internalization? It is Nick Santora.
In terms of him falling on a sword? Or the other way? The other way. Good way or bad way? I'm trying to figure out. Good way. Bad way, cyber criminals. That's right. These guys talk about denial and deflection. They're lazy. They don't want to deny they're criminals, but it's us that are vulnerable. And if you're connected to your devices, you've been hacked. Like, does your device restart on its own? Sign. Is it running slower than normal? Sign. Any programs running you don't recognize? Mm-hmm. And it just takes a weak link for criminals to get in. But with new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection, they add Norton Security to help protect against threat to your identity and your devices that you can't see or fix on your own. So it's a new LifeLock Identity Theft Protection Program. Norton Security protects against threats to your identity and your devices. This is stuff you can't do by yourself. So you need LifeLock. And of course, you know, like it's like an insurance plan. Like any other technology, it comes with liabilities and you have to start protecting yourself. And that is LifeLock. If you have a problem, they have agents who will work to fix it. They will fix your problem. Right, Matt?
No one can stop every cyber threat, prevent all identity theft, or monitor transactions at all businesses, but new LifeLock with Norton Security is able to uncover threats you might otherwise miss. Go to LifeLock.com or call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code Adam for an additional 10% off your first year. That's promo code Adam for an additional 10% off.
All right, we have some crazy calls up there.
We do, I know. We'll talk about dreams again tomorrow.
I'll get into more of this.
I'm on line 5. I want to talk to you real quick.
I'm going line 2.
Okay.
Tom, 28, Las Vegas.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. What's going on?
So my dad has prostate cancer and is probably not going to make it through Christmas.
Wow.
And he's a corporate lawyer, going to be inheriting some money. And I kind of wanted to know what you guys think I should do. Like, I'm pretty young and all that kind of stuff.
How much money do we think?
He's worth about $9.8 million.
And you'll be getting all that?
Well, the taxes.
Yeah.
You'll be getting about...
I'm an only child, yeah.
What are you getting, like 6?
I don't know.
After taxes?
I don't know.
6 or 7?
No, I think with the Trump rules, it's all different now. So you get to keep most of it under like $22 million.
Wow.
Crazy. Good for you. Yeah. Listen, I hate that sort of death tax. Like, I hate when politicians are like, why should that money just go, okay, I'm going to use your logic. Why the fuck should you get any of that money?
Yeah.
The guy worked his whole life. He wants to give it to his kid or he wants to give it to his beagle. Like, what do you mean? Like, oh, so you just go ahead and get all that money? Like, yeah, you mean the money you pay taxes on already?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait, why shouldn't he be able to give it to his son?
Or do whatever the F he wants
or whatever
to do with
the fuck
it.
He wants with it? Like, do it, burn it, make a funeral pyre and just burn it all with him? Like, just, why can't we have that money?
Shit.
It's so insane, isn't it?
Yes.
All right. So here's, Tom, what I know. I'm not a financial planner. I will tell you that you can mow through that money very quickly, insanely quickly. So, for instance, my first just piece of advice, if you decide that you need a good car, a cool car, a flashy car, a nice car, you deserve something like, do not go out to the Bentley dealership and get the new four-wheel drive for $287,000. Go get something that's 2 years old or 3 years old. Literally, if you watch those Barrett Jackson auctions and stuff,
yeah.
You'll see Bentley GT V12 2011s like rolling down that thing, $61,000. Like, I mean, which you couldn't get a loaded Volvo for. You can get a Bentley that's 2.5 years old. Don't be an insane person and buy a new car.
Don't be an insane person with the cars generally. I think that's a good note.
But if you have, look, I could tell you a couple of cars to buy for an investment that would probably work out. I like real estate, you know, something that generates income. I mean, it's all sort of no-duh stuff, but whatever your impulse is, don't do it.
Live way below your means. Diversify the portfolio in ways that, you know, sort of suit your psychology, and have some of it income producing so you can live off it, but have some of it grow.
Here's my main question. I have a daughter coming in, and I just want to know, like, how do I make this money not sort of ruin them early on? Because I'm like sort of second generation wealth, you know, it sort of falls apart at the third generation.
Yes, that's true, but live below your means. Have a certain amount of it give you guaranteed income so you don't have to stress, and then let the rest of it grow
on
its own.
What do you do, Tom?
I'm a film producer out in Las Vegas.
I hear porn director. that's all I heard. Look, as far as your kids, the money shouldn't be what ruins them. You know, like my kids have a rich dad, but we play with the dog. We take lots of walks. I constantly tell them all the time.
He just described how he only ruined one of them.
Yeah, ruined one of them. No, but my daughter does a lot of like, oh, let's call whatever Barry and have him the Grubhub and have him bring over the food. And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
And they're like, why not? Just tell them to bring it by the house. I'm like, because it's a special treat and we don't have people bring stuff to the house.
Yeah.
And you go, you save up, you walk over there, whatever it is. It's like, it's difficult to explain to them why you can't have somebody, you know, post it. Why doesn't post it? Just go over the place and get stuff, bring it over the house.
Yeah.
And it's like, you have to just keep saying no.
Yes. I always say, because that's $7, do you have it to pay for the delivery? You going to pay the delivery?
Well, now you sound like your dad.
That's right. Here's another tip. Remove excess weight from your car to improve mileage. Key fob under your chin to increase its range. Also, this is an important tip. This is much like pay for the task rabbit. Mm-hmm. True Car will help people get used cars with a True Car certified dealer network and a nationwide inventory of nearly 1 million used cars. So you'll enjoy real pricing, and you'll see, you know, you see what others paid, so you know you're getting a good deal. You see that scattergram, and it's actual inventory. So you're actually locking in a price, a true price for a car on a True Car certified dealer's lot. It's a simpler buying experience, whether you're buying new or used. It's also a faster buying experience, particularly when you connect with a True Car certified dealer. So remember, it's new or used. Maxipat had a used car. It's been a great purchase for him. True Car, true price, new or used, easy, faster buying experience. When you're ready to buy new or used, check out True Car. Enjoy that more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
All right, Gabby.
Yeah.
And we have Nick's email for later as well. Gabby, 50, West Virginia.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Gabby.
So my main question really is for Dr. Drew, but Adam, I would love to hear your input as well from the standpoint of a boss. Mm-hmm. Dr. Drew, I'm a brand new nurse.
Okay.
I'm 50 years old. I precepted in the ICU and accepted a position there, and I'm just barely off of orientation, so I'm on my own now.
Okay.
And when I am in a situation where I see a patient that is, I know that they don't look right, they're circling the drain, and I have to call the attending and say, this doesn't look right to me, I need to know what to do. I don't have enough experience and confidence at this point to really be able to articulate exactly what's happening. And
All right. So here's the deal. Here's what you're going to need to do. It's not going to take long. Within the next 3 months, you're going to know which attendings are reasonable and which are not, which are aggressive and which are humane.
Who are those?
Well, I mean, like
attendees.
The person, the doctor is taking care of the patient.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the internist will tend to be a little more philosophical and more easy to go with the death and dying part of this. The surgeons will not. The cardiologist and pulmonologist will, but will want to kind of push to the outer limits. You know what I'm saying? They want every presser, you know, dialed up to the, you know, the nth degree and everything done possible. And you'll know, you'll learn the language of each of these folks and how you can talk to them. It's okay to say, I think they're dying. It's fine to say that. That's information. Everyone kind of knows what that means. And that's different than, hey, they're crashing. Their renal output is dropping. Their pressure, I can't bring it up to pressors. They're not oxygenating properly. They're on PEEP, my maximal PEEP, maximum oxygen flow. Everyone kind of knows what that means. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's a code.
Yeah.
And I would always tell the medical students this. I'd say, when you tell me something, when you tell you observe something, know what you mean. Know what I mean. Be sure you know what I'm going to think of that, what that means. You know what I mean? If you hear a certain kind of murmur.
Drew, don't ever do a TED talk.
Yeah, yeah. Let me try to say this.
That's the worst goddamn piece of it. Listen to me once and hear me twice.
No, no. What I'm saying is, if you describe something specific, if you have a certain description, it's going to mean something to me. Know what that means when you're describing it. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So when you describe a blood pressure of 60 over Doppler and they're on full pressor, you're saying something. you're communicating something really specific then, right? Even though it's objective parameters, we know what you mean.
Gabby, what happened? Got divorced? Kids left the nest? What's going on with the 50-year-old brand-new nurse?
Oh, well, this will mean something to Dr. Drew. I was a staffer for the California Medical Association for many years.
Wow.
And became very enthralled with the practice of medicine. But at my age, I felt like, you know, trying to pursue medical school was not realistic for me. my son turned 18, and I had the time to... and the resources at that point to pursue, you know, something more. I was tired of sitting at a desk and...
Let me tell you something. I've talked to a number of people who have had other careers and then become nurses late in life. You have something special now you will always be able to offer people, and that will be very meaningful. There's something about having a skill set that can affect a one-on-one exchange. That is, people don't appreciate how meaningful that is, and you will. It will bring you meaning always, number one. And number two, a really good ICU nurse is priceless. You're like having a resident right there
on
the patient.
I read a tweet or whatever that said, like, look, these are one of those jobs the robots ain't replacing.
Oh, no.
So,
well, that's what she's kind of talking about. What my instincts tell me something. How do I communicate it? You know, that's not a robot thing ever.
Good. All right. Gary's got Nick's the email you should all share with your kids. First, I'll tell you about Nightstand. That's NYTSTND. You got the iPhone, you got the iPad, Apple Watch, ton of cables everywhere. I hate the mess. I hate the clutter. Nightstand, one plug solution, charges 2 to 10 devices at the same time. Charge wirelessly or with the built-in cables. Featured in Better Homes and Gardens, Nightstand is the number one charging station on Etsy and is made in America, not in China. Or sometimes Thailand, I see stuff. I seem to see some furniture and stuff like that made in Thailand. Now, right here in the U.S. of A. Plus, all Nightstand products have a free 2-day shipping. I have one. This stuff is just the best. It's such a mess with all the devices and the kids and the charging and everything. Look smart. Look like you have your act together. Go with Nightstand. Exclusive sale for our listeners. 15% off any order with promo code ADS at checkout. Go to Nightstand.com. That's NYTSTND.com. It'll simplify your charging. All right. Story I shared, but as long as we're talking about interns, this is unsolicited from Nick Santora.
I remember this.
And this is, he's a guy who did Scorpion. He's written many movies and TV shows and a self-starter and hardworking guy. Nobody outworks this guy. And he told me when he secured the rights to a guy who taught people how to act in prison. Then 2 years later, I saw this Will Ferrell movie with Kevin Hart where a guy taught someone how to act in prison, and he's got the rights. So I wrote him a an email that said, congratulations. Like, hey, is this yours, buddy? And he wrote back, what?
Yeah, that Get Hard idea was the one I had been running around with years ago. But this movie isn't mine. I don't think anyone stole it, but was exactly what I was trying to get going. But the truth is, it's not the most original concept. So if someone else wrote it and sold it first, more power to them.
All right, first things first. Everyone I went to high school with, I got screwed. I'm suing everyone. I got screwed. This was my idea. Somebody stole it. Now Will Ferrell's in it. No victimhood. Literally said it was the exact same idea as mine, but I don't think anyone stole it. All right. Yep. That's number one, if you'd like to be successful. Number two.
I'm just pissed at myself for not getting it done sooner.
No, he's involved himself. Everyone else I know would be ripped off and a victim. But, I got screwed, and there's nothing I could have done.
The difference between a personality disorder or not, but then with a personality disorder, everything's out there. Nothing's in here. The problems are all outside.
You guys hearing any language of losers in here? He's pissed at himself. I literally said to him, hey, it looks like someone took your idea, or is this your idea? And he's like, he's pissing himself for not doing it earlier. Go ahead.
My fuck up. I deserve to lose this one. Ain't going to happen again, though.
There's how you end it. Screwed up. Not going to happen again. There you go.
Yeah.
That's it. He didn't think I was reading it on the air. That's what he told me.
Yeah. That's what he told himself, more importantly.
What he told himself, everybody. Now, think about that answer versus the answers you routinely get from your kids or your flunkies.
You know what, Adam, though? I would never have had, up to this point in my life, I've never had any empathy for exactly what you're talking about. But the fact that you literally could be confused by what happened, that was so painful to experience.
I have empathy now. Except for when I say, knock it off. Don't answer that way. Don't. Yeah. I told Matt, don't answer that way, and he stopped answering that way.
Yeah,
that's it.
Came out some other way though.
One. He's taking out in the bath, my toilet. No, one could say, well, Matt had good parents. Matt has an education, and Matt has the capacity to.
Well, you're making a point for essentially cognitive behavioral therapy, which is it's an adjustment. And it needs to be coached. It needs to be rehearsed. It needs to be planned for. There has to be motivation for it. It's not easy. It's not easy. And, man, I got to tell you, I'm to this minute gobsmacked by the idea of having something happen, like get fired because of something I did and not be aware I did it. That, to me, is like mind-boggling.
Everyone knows what they did. It doesn't feel that way.
Well, I'm going to tell you in that moment – I related to the experience of literally not knowing and then struggling to try to make sense of what had happened. Right. Like for like the rest of the next 3 hours of my fucking night was spent going, what did I do? How did I do that?
That's the night you ever dream about either flying or being gay and leave me the fuck out of it.
With you or no?
Just leave me out.
You're, I can't be gay with
you're
you.
You're gay or you're flying.
We have to solve this thing.
All right. June 9th, Aladdin Theater, Portland, second show added. Filming a live stand-up show. So when we're going to make a special out of that, you can check that out. Go to amcroll.com for all the information you need. Single AF with Donna Jericho and Charisse Neal. These guys come on my podcast. They're a lot of fun. You can check that out on Podcast One as well. Drew, what do you got?
Go to dr.com. See the family of pods. Got a lot of great stuff coming up at Dr. Drew Podcast. Who is it this week, Gary? You got offhand?
Yeah, it's going to be Jessica Leahy.
Nice. So, check it out.
Until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying, mahalo.